Well, we're going to complete our study of the Jehovah's Witnesses this morning. And over the last few weeks, we have focused on a number of key beliefs or key doctrines of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. We've identified them and showed how they are not consistent with what the Bible teaches. So our premise has been that every Christian should reject the Watchtower's claims to be the true church because of its many unbiblical views. Over the last 2 weeks, we've identified the first six of those views, most of them having to do with God, the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the finished work of Christ, and of salvation. And we're going to wrap those up this morning by looking at the final four of the 10 false doctrines of the Watchtower. And I've listed them on the board, and we'll go into some detail about each of those. But number seven is that the Watchtower has an unbiblical view regarding salvation by grace through faith. As we'll see, the Watchtower teaches that salvation is accomplished by a combination of faith plus works. Number eight is the unbiblical view concerning conscious existence after death. The Watchtower teaches that at death, the body and soul cease to exist, that there is no conscious existence beyond the grave. Rather, all people must await the day when Jehovah God reforms their life force and places them in paradise earth, and we'll look at that in more detail. Then number nine is the unbiblical view regarding eternal punishment in hell. The Watchtower teaches that hell is, in fact, the grave or death, and that there is no conscious eternal separation from God for the unbeliever. And then number 10, the unbiblical view regarding heaven for all believers. As we'll see, there are two basic classes of believers in Watchtower thinking. There's the anointed class, 144,000, who will go to heaven. And then there is the other sheep, or the great cloud, or the great witness, the great group, or great cloud of witnesses, and that's those who have the hope of being resurrected or being recreated and placed in paradise earth. So we'll look at those four false doctrines of the Watchtower this morning, and we'll compare them with the Scripture has to say, and then we'll also look at how different people in Watchtower thinking have different eternal destinies. We'll sort of walk through their life and their life beyond the grave. So let's start by looking at false doctrine number seven, and that is the Watchtower's denial of salvation by grace through faith. Now, if you ask a Jehovah's Witness how you are saved, most of them will say, "We believe you are saved by the grace of God through faith." But in practice, that's not really what the Watchtower believes and teaches. They believe and teach that you must have faith and that salvation is by the grace of God, but they emphasize what they call exercising your faith. In other words, faith alone doesn't cut it. It has to be a combination of faith plus works. And if you don't work throughout this life, and even in the millennial kingdom, if you don't continue to work, at any point along there, you can lose the hope of salvation and you face the prospect of being annihilated. That is, being sent to hell where you cease to exist. There's no more conscious existence for you. Let me share with you a good summary of the requirements for salvation for the Watchtower. And these are summarized in a little booklet called 10 Questions and Answers on Jehovah's Witnesses. This is not a booklet produced by the Watchtower, but it is a booklet that focuses on Watchtower teachings. And here's what they say, quote, "Most witnesses hope to be found worthy enough to be saved from destruction in the future battle of Armageddon and to survive into God's new earthly system or rule when paradise will be restored to earth. The four requirements for salvation are, one, taking in knowledge of Jehovah God and of Jesus Christ. Two, obeying God's laws and conforming one's life to the moral requirements set out in the Bible. Three, belonging to and serving with God's one true channel and organization, that is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And four, being loyal to God's organization. So salvation and Watchtower thinking is a combination of faith plus works. And for virtually every member of the Watchtower Society today, the hope is that if I believe in Jehovah God, if I believe in Jesus Christ, and if I'm taking in knowledge by faithful attendance at Kingdom Hall and the Bible studies that are required, if I am faithful not only to attend the Bible studies, but to preach, that is, go door-to-door and proclaim the gospel truth, according to the Watchtower, and if I am obedient to what the Watchtower tells me to do, then I have the hope, when I am resurrected one day, of entering into Paradise Earth. But even then, once I enter into Paradise Earth, I still have to continue to have faith and be faithful, or I can be thrown out of the kingdom of heaven. So, for the Jehovah's Witness, there is no real absolute eternal security. Salvation is a combination of faith plus works, and it's up to me to provide my own security in salvation. For the Jehovah's Witness, once they profess belief, they make a public declaration of their faith, and they're baptized, and they become a member of the Kingdom Hall. They are not born again. The only Jehovah's Witnesses who are born again are the 144,000 who will go to heaven. And we'll look at them a little more closely in a few minutes. By being born again, it means they're recreated as a spirit being, just as Jesus was recreated as a spirit being after his death. And so they do not believe. The Jehovah's Witness today needs to be or will be or can be born again. That's only for the anointed class, the 144,000 who will go into heaven. Neither do they have any true eternal security. Any security they have is based upon themselves. And then their hope is not for heaven, but their hope is to be recreated and to live here in Paradise Earth. So the Watchtower teaches that salvation, while they say is by grace through faith, in actual practice, they believe salvation is a combination of belief plus works. And if you fail to believe or you fail to work, you may very well lose your salvation.
So between the time they die and when Jesus comes back, where are they?
They cease to exist. And I've written here in red on the board sort of a progression across time, and we'll look at this a little more closely later. But today, for the Jehovah's Witness, they believe there may be a few thousand who are still in the anointed class, but they would have to been baptized and be members of the Watchtower prior to 1935. So if there are any who were baptized before 1935, and there may be a few left, they're in the anointed class. But anybody after 1935 has no hope of heaven. So they live today on earth. At death, they go to hell. Hell is man's common grave, the Watchtower says, and they cease to exist. They have no conscious existence. So for the faithful Jehovah's Witness, what they hope, they don't know for sure, but what they hope is that at death, they will go into a state of soul sleep, and then, after Armageddon, the final battle, there will be what they call a resurrection, but they don't really mean resurrection. Your physical body will not be resurrected. Rather, it will be recreated. God remembers your life force, and so the life force you had at death, God remembers, and he recreates in the resurrection, and then you will enter the millennial kingdom or Paradise Earth. Now, if you're a faithful Jehovah's Witness and you make it here, you have to go through the entire 1,000-year millennial kingdom as a faithful Jehovah's Witness, and then you have to face a final test when Satan is loosed for a short time. And if you do all of that, if you survive the 1,000-year millennium, you survive the final test, then you will continue in paradise earth, but never in heaven. Let's start with the first question first, which has to do with the blood of Christ or the atonement of Christ. They believe Jesus died, but on a torture stake, not on the cross, because they believe the cross is a pagan Roman symbol. In fact, they don't even, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you will not have any jewelry that's a cross. You will not have anything in your home that's a cross. When you become a Jehovah's Witness, you must destroy any image of a cross. You can't give it away or throw it out. It has to be destroyed. So they believe he died on a torture stake. And when he did that, he bought back or he paid the price of Adam's sin. And by paying the price of Adam's sin, he basically put us back at ground zero that gives us the opportunity by faith and works to earn a place in Jehovah's kingdom. So they do believe in the atonement of Christ, but they define it differently. Then your second question about the Ten Commandments and so on. Jehovah's Witnesses, by and large, are very moral people. Most of their Bible study is in the Old Testament rather than the New Testament. They do believe in the Ten Commandments. They try very hard to live a moral and a godly life. And many Jehovah's Witnesses very successfully live very righteous lives by man's point of view. As far as fruits of the Spirit, their view of the Holy Spirit is not that he is a person who indwells our human spirit at the moment of regeneration. Rather, they identify the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force. And in fact, they would define the human spirit, I was reading just this morning, that the analogy of the spirit of mankind is very much like electricity. That it's God's electricity kind of that's pumped into you. And at death, God just sort of pulls the plug and the electricity is off. Your spirit is dead, your soul is dead, and your body is dead. So while they talk about Holy Spirit, lowercase, the Holy Spirit is not God and the Holy Spirit is not personal. No, actually, their definition of hell is the same as the grave or death. It's annihilation. And so at death, they believe you go to hell, which simply means you cease to exist. And so anyone who's sent to hell, an unbeliever, for example, an unbeliever does not live eternally separated from God. Rather, that unbeliever not only dies, but ultimately is annihilated, that is, ceases to exist. And we'll see in a little while how the person who dies or is in hell or soul sleep, most people will be resurrected and come back to life. Those who are unbelievers will have a second chance, but there are some who are rebellious and unregenerate, and when they die, they are annihilated and never resurrected again. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in an eternal hell, eternal conscious separation from God. Okay? So that's just a brief look at salvation by grace through faith and the Jehovah's Witness denial of that. Let's just look at a couple verses of Scripture that show us very clearly that salvation is by God's grace through faith. And that's it. There's nothing that mankind can add to it. Romans chapter 4. And let's read verses 4 and 5. Okay? What does Paul say are the requirements for eternal life? Yeah, faith or belief. And he says, if it was possible to earn our salvation, either totally through works or through a combination of faith plus works, then it would be a debt that God owes us. It's like I'm going to work for God, and in return for my living a faithful life, God owes me eternal life at the end of the day. And Paul says, that's not the way it is. Rather, Christ, through his sinless life, death, burial, and resurrection, paid my sin debt in full, and that by belief or by faith in Christ, I have everlasting life. And that's all that there is to it. Poured out. All right, Titus chapter 3, verse 4 in the New World Translation says, however, when the kindness and the love for man on the part of our Savior, comma, God was manifested, owing to no works in righteousness that we had performed, but according to his mercy he saved us through the bath. They don't use the word regeneration, the bath. Baptism is required for salvation in the watchtower, so they don't use the word regeneration, but bath. That brought us to life, and through the making of us new by Holy Spirit, lowercase, this lowercase spirit he poured out richly upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And then it goes on there. So they put a comma between God our Savior so that there's not a clear reference to being Jesus Christ our Savior. Rather, they believe God, Jehovah God, and then Jesus is our Savior. But they can't be the same thing. So they separate that by a comma. Then they take out the word regeneration, the making alive by the person of the Holy Spirit, and put bath in there. And then they talk about being declared righteous. And again, the Jehovah's Witness is declared righteous by exercising their faith, believing, but then being faithful and obedient to what the watchtower requires. So while the New World Translation does not always successfully eliminate salvation by grace through faith in its language, their supporting materials make it clear that when it talks about justification or being declared righteous or being saved, that it is through a combination of the work of Christ, through our faith in him, and exercising that faith, that is doing what the watchtower requires. And if we do that, then we have the hope, the possibility of being recreated and entering paradise earth one day. The 144,000, according to watchtower teaching, includes the apostles, the 12 apostles, and perhaps a few thousand from the early days of the church. Then the watchtower believes Christianity went into almost full apostasy, although there were a few faithful believers over those 2,000 years. And so after the apostles in the early church, a few thousand there, a few over the next 2,000 years, and then starting with Charles Taze Russell and the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society in 1870, from there until 1935, those who were baptized and faithful in the Jehovah's Witness organization are part of the 144,000. But after 1935, if you are not baptized and a part of the organization, then you are not part of the 144,000. That's how they would identify them.
The 144,000 are already, they've already been picked. They're gone.
They're gone. There may be a few left that are... Right. If you were not baptized before 1935, you do not have hope of being in the 144,000. So that's how they're identified. And everybody else is part of... Every other Jehovah's Witness is part of the other sheep. If you go to Revelation and look at the reference to 144,000, the first reference in Revelation is very clearly 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jehovah's Witnesses just reinterpret that to say, well, that's a reference to the anointed class or those who will be in heaven with God.
Baptized.
Yeah. Well, here is their thinking. When they come to your door, at least one of the following two, or maybe both of the following two things are true. Number one is they have a genuine concern that you escape Armageddon, which is the coming battle between God and the ungodly on earth. That may be true, but number two certainly is true, and that is that they have a concern about themselves being able to escape Armageddon, in which God is going to destroy, that is, annihilate, completely annihilate, those who are not in God's kingdom. And so while they don't have a hope of heaven, they do have a hope of living on paradise earth, God's renovated or reconstructed earth, very similar probably to what Peter and John wrote about in Revelation, talking about the new heavens and the new earth. And so they do have the hope of making it there and living forever in paradise earth, even though they don't have the hope of being in heaven. They still believe they'll be in a state of blessedness in paradise earth. They are extremely well trained. And I was reading last night the testimony of a guy who wrote a book on Jehovah's Witnesses, how he came out of the Watchtower. But he said that he and his wife, who were very faithful, in fact, he was an elder in the Watchtower, he and his wife were avid door-to-door preachers. And he said they went back and counted, and they said for every one page, in all the studies that Jehovah's Witnesses do, and they study a lot, for every one page of the Bible that they were assigned to read, they had 15 pages of assigned commentary by the Watchtower that they had to read. And what little Bible they read was mostly in the Old Testament and not in the New. And they said what finally brought them out of the Watchtower was they were attending a national conference. And there were some protesters outside the national conference, and they were holding up signs that said, "Read the Bible, not the Watchtower." And they said, "Well, we didn't think much about that." They said, "My wife and I got to talking about that, and we said, you know, we do spend a lot of time reading the Watchtower magazine and all the books and other things. We don't spend that much time reading the Bible. Why don't we spend a little more time reading the Bible?" And they started to read the New Testament. And as they started to read about Jesus and his sinless life and his work on the cross and his physical resurrection and salvation by grace through faith, they started to ask questions. And the more they asked questions of their leaders, the more in trouble they got. And they finally realized that they had come to a crisis point where they needed to walk away. And it was a very difficult thing for them to do. But they walked away from the Watchtower, found a good Bible-believing church, and grew. And now they have a very active and thriving ministry to Jehovah's Witnesses. But it was their reading the Bible for themselves that convinced them of the truth of the gospel. Whereas the Watchtower teachings are very strict in that you cannot understand the Bible except as it's filtered through the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And so unless you can get over that, you can't get to the pure teachings of the Bible itself. Jehovah's Witnesses are taught that quote-unquote Christendom or Christianity, whether you're Methodist, Lutheran, Roman Catholic, or whatever, is apostate and is of Satan. And therefore, if you talk to them about the deity of Christ or the Trinity or other biblical doctrines that they deny, those are doctrines that they are taught were hatched by Satan to deceive them. So they're taught to be very careful and to make sure that they do what the Watchtower and its local organization, the Kingdom Hall and the elders and leaders there, tell them to do. It's very much based on my placing my faith and trust in the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, not my placing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because ultimately what the Watchtower tells me is what Jehovah wants me to do, and I have to be faithful there. I'm not encouraged to be a free thinker. If you buy into what the Watchtower teaches, your only hope is to be obedient to what the Watchtower tells you so you can be recreated or resurrected and live on paradise earth. That's the only hope you have. If you step outside of that, you're on your own, and what's going to happen to you is you're going to be annihilated. You don't have any hope of getting into paradise earth. And so it, from a Christian biblical perspective, that's really no hope at all. But from their perspective, it's the only hope they have. And that's why we identify Jehovah's Witnesses as a cult, because the way we've identified a cult is it's a religious organization whose members claim to be Christians and who use the Bible and Christian terms, yet who deny the central beliefs of biblical Christianity. So Jehovah's Witnesses are a classic cult. Well, let's go on to number 8, and that is that Jehovah's Witnesses deny the biblical doctrine of conscious existence after death. Watchtower organization states very emphatically that hell is man's common grave. So in other words, their concept of hell means that at death, all of us go to hell, and we cease to exist. We do not have any conscious existence beyond the grave. And, of course, the Bible does teach us that there is conscious existence beyond the grave. Paul taught that for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Jesus taught in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man the conscious existence of both of those individuals after death, but different eternal destinies for them. The Watchtower reinterprets the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, saying that Jesus was telling a parable about the Jewish religious leaders, them being like the rich man who had it all, but they because of their wrong beliefs on Jehovah and about Jesus, that they are in torment as they watch God's blessing leave Israel and come to the true church. So they totally change the meaning of that parable, when in fact, when you read it in its context and you know that Jesus always used parables of real things, whether it's planting, whether it's building a tower, whether it's doing other things, that Jesus used real life examples. And so it's really not realistic to think he would use an example of death and what lies beyond the death to be a picture of anything other than what he intended for it to be. The point of that parable was to demonstrate to the Jewish religious leaders that your earthly position does not determine your eternal destiny. The Jewish leaders thought, because we are Jews, we're God's people, because we are religious leaders, our outward blessings, our wealth, our position, our power, are God's rewards on us for our inward righteousness. And Jesus said, you got it all backwards. It's not your wealth, your position, your power, your external stand in the minds of people. It's your relationship with God that determines your eternal destiny. So the Watchtower totally changes that around. Then number 9, the Watchtower again denies that there is no eternal punishment in hell. Their belief is that for those who do not make it into paradise earth, or that do and are thrown away, the eternal fires of hell burn eternally, but the individual who's thrown there does not. In other words, annihilation, not eternal separation from God in hell, is the punishment for the unbeliever. And then last, number 10, heaven is a destination for all believers. Again, the Watchtower believes there are two classes of believers, the 144,000, or the anointed class, and the other sheep, that is, other Jehovah's Witnesses who will enter into paradise earth. Now, I wanted to take a minute and show you kind of the progression here of how this works. I've got, if you can see it on the board, going from left to right, from earth out into eternity future. Now, first of all, this is Jesus, okay? Jesus lived on earth. Remember, he was created as Michael the Archangel. He was recreated. Jehovah took his life force and placed it in the womb of Mary, and so he became a man and a man only. Then at his death, Jesus went into a state of soul sleep for 3 days. Jesus ceased to exist. The man Jesus will never be again in Jehovah's Witness thinking. He was then resurrected, or actually he was recreated on the third day, and he went into heaven. Okay? He was recreated and went into heaven. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus returned invisibly to earth in 1914. And he is in the process invisibly of setting up Jehovah's theocratic kingdom on earth. So that's where Jesus is today. He is here invisibly setting up God's kingdom. All right? So keep that in mind. That's Jesus. Now, let's look at the 144,000, the anointed class. Okay? Starting with the apostles and a few sprinkled throughout the church age, and mostly Jehovah's Witnesses from 1870 to 1935, they lived, they believed, and worked out their salvation. They died, and today they do not exist. The 144,000 are in a state of soul sleep. Okay? They do not exist. They have no conscious existence. What they are awaiting is, after the Battle of Armageddon, there will be a resurrection, actually a recreation, where God remembers their life force. He will create them as spirit beings, and they will be born again. That's what it means to be born again in Jehovah's Witness teaching. That Jesus was recreated as Michael the Archangel, and the 144,000 will be recreated as spirit beings, and they will go to heaven, and they will rule with Jesus in heaven. Okay, that's the 144,000. Now, how about the other sheep? The other Jehovah's Witnesses. Exactly. Okay, the other sheep, they're on earth. They believe, they work hard. They try to do their best. When they die, they go into a state of soul sleep. They cease to exist. At the resurrection, they will be given new bodies, and they will enter the millennial kingdom, or paradise earth. Throughout that millennial kingdom, they have to stay faithful to Jehovah for the whole 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a period of time, and there will be a final test. If the Jehovah's Witness fails during the millennial kingdom, or if the Jehovah's Witness fails the final test, it's annihilation. If the Jehovah's Witness is faithful through the 1,000 years and the final test, paradise earth. They finally made it.
Do they know what that test is going to be?
Well, Satan will be loosed, very similar to what Revelation talks about, where he will come, he'll be loosed for a short time at the end and deceive many people. Yeah, they've got to stay faithful to Jehovah and not follow the temptation of Satan during that period of time. Now, it is. It's a real 1,000 years. Now, another possibility for the other sheep is, let's say Armageddon happens while they're still alive. Let's say Armageddon happens tomorrow, okay? If Armageddon happens tomorrow, they will go alive into paradise earth or the millennial kingdom. They've survived Armageddon. But they have to stay faithful through the 1,000 years. They have to stay faithful through the final test in order to make it eternally into paradise earth and receive eternal life. Eternal life comes here. This is where eternal life is. Remember, Jesus said, "If you hear, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has," right now, "has eternal life and shall not ever come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, real quickly, that's not everybody. What about you and me? We're not Jehovah's Witnesses, right? All right, we're on earth, we die, we go into a state of soul sleep. That's us, okay? We're no conscious existence. Now, at the resurrection, we're resurrected. And we are placed in the millennial kingdom, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses are. We will hear the teaching about Jehovah, and we will have a second chance. We will have an opportunity to believe in Jehovah, to believe in Christ, and then we have to be faithful throughout the 1,000 years. We have to pass the final test, and then it's possible even we can have eternal life just like the Jehovah's Witness. There is one final class, and that is those who are unsaved and rebellious. And I could not find really a clear definition of who these people are. But sort of like in Mormon teaching, where there are sons of perdition, people who are going to go to hell, there is a class of people who are so wicked, so vile, and whether this is people disfellowshipped or what, I could not determine. But there is a class of unsaved, rebellious people who at death are annihilated. And they do not get resurrected. They do not get a second chance. But most of us would be resurrected and have a second chance. Yeah, in Armageddon, most people on earth will be destroyed, except for only Jehovah's Witnesses will survive Armageddon. So, okay, well, let's just summarize very quickly and close. We've looked over the last 3 weeks at 10 key doctrines of the Watchtower that are unbiblical. In other words, when we lay them aside, what the Bible teaches, we find them to be doctrines and commandments of men rather than true doctrines of Scripture. Jehovah's Witnesses are very sincere people. They are very faithful. They study the Bible. They study commentaries on the Bible. They believe that they need to go publish and proclaim the coming of Armageddon and the way that we can survive Armageddon and receive eternal life. But it's very clear that in Watchtower thinking, a person must believe and work to have any chance of eternal life. And even after death, when they're brought back in the millennial kingdom, they have to be faithful throughout that 1,000 years. They have to be faithful when Satan is loosed in a final test. And then if they have done all of that, then and only then they have eternal life. So when Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, as you said, Ron, they will be very well prepared to answer just about every objection or every passage of Scripture that you show them. But one thing that I find to be very effective when I talk to a Jehovah's Witness is to share with them the personal assurance I have that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's based totally on the finished work of Christ at Calvary, and that I have absolute confidence, as Peter wrote about in 1 Peter 1, that there is a home prepared for me in heaven, and that that home in heaven, that eternal, everlasting, unbreakable relationship with Christ is not based on my performance. It's based on the performance of Christ, his sinless life, his death, burial, and resurrection, so that I have absolute confidence now and forevermore that I have eternal life because my eternal life is based on the perfection and the finished work of Christ. It's not based on my performance.
And then you say to them,